But we are in a series right now. It's a three-week series, and we are talking about the mission statement of our church. The mission statement of our church is creating Christ-centered, culture-changing community. Creating Christ-centered, culture-changing community. That is our mission statement. But every mission statement also needs a mission strategy. You can have a statement and hang it on your wall and put it in a nice frame in your home or at your office, but if you don't have a strategy, a plan to carry out that statement, then nothing is ever going to happen. And our plan, our strategy to carry out that mission statement is in three parts, and that is connect, grow, impact. Will you say that along with me? Say connect. Say grow. Say impact. Now say it like you mean it. Say connect. Say grow. Say impact. And the great thing about this series is that this isn't just a mission statement for our church. This is a mission statement for your life. This is a mission strategy. This is a purpose and a plan for your life. You can implement this in every area of your family, of your work, of your personal life. Connect, grow, impact. Let's read that. We'll be reading the same passage that we started last week in John chapter 15. John chapter 15. And for those of you who normally follow along, our YouVersion app, we had some technical difficulties, so we were not able to get that posted. So you're just going to have to do it the old-fashioned way this morning. Take out your iPhone and read along. John chapter 15, starting with verse 1. Jesus said, "I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. Verse 11, I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. This is my commandment. Love each other in the same way I have loved you. There is no greater love than to lay down one's life for one's friend. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you slaves because a master doesn't confide in his slaves. You are now my friend since I have told you everything the Father told me. You didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. This is my command. Love each other." Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. God, we know that your word forms our lives and it transforms our lives. And so, God, we just ask that you would open up our minds that we might understand, our hearts that we might receive, our eyes that we might see, God, everything that you have for us today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.
So last week we talked about connection, and this passage is a perfect picture of connection. It says that I am the vine, talking about Jesus, and you are the branches, talking about each and every one of us. And the first command that Jesus gives is not for us to do anything or be anything or become anything. Instead, it says, stay connected to me. Remain in me. Stay connected to me. And you know, a branch doesn't have any power on its own. It gets its life source from the vine. And so it's so important that we understand as Christians, as believers, that when we go into our life and we're having a hard time executing the plans that we feel like God's given us, or we have a hard time tapping into the power that we need to be able to live our life every day, we need to check our connection first. We need to check our connection to God. And connection means this. It's very simple. It means that you make a decision. You put a ring on it. You say, this is it. This is it for me. Stop dating God. Put a ring on it. Stop dating your pastor and your church. Put a ring on it. Because God's plan isn't just for us to be connected to Him. God's plan is for us to be connected to a community, to a people, to a place, and to a purpose, to a community. Yeah. So decide. It doesn't have to be this community, but you need to pick a community and just walk in. Say, you know what? This is it. These are my people. This is my place. And I am aligned with that purpose. And I'm going to go after it with everything that is in my heart. I am going to strive to be connected. Philip said it so great last week. He said, you can't grow up until you show up. You can't grow up until you show up. Showing up is half of the battle. Just choosing to show up at church, just choosing to show up and be consistent is half of the battle. And, you know, I love when things connect with people, when things really spark with people's minds. We have these connection cards in the back of the chairs. They have a little plus sign. And if you want to get involved in a small group, or if you want to serve, or if you just want to let us know that you're here, which is very polite, and we appreciate that, you can fill out these cards and take them back to the Connection Center. Well, last week, we had more cards turned in than I think we had all year long. So it was an exciting and a wonderful time to get these cards in and to be calling people this week and last week and saying, hey, how can we help you get connected? But this is the thing. If you don't get connected at first, don't give up. Don't say, well, I tried. I filled out a card and somehow it didn't get where it was supposed to go. Nobody called me. I guess this isn't my place. No, you have to strive to be connected. You have to strive to stay connected.
And today we're talking about the second part of the strategy. First, we must connect. There can be no growth without connection. Connection must happen first. We get connected, and today we're going to be talking about growth. This is the first time that Destin and I have preached together in almost 4 months. She has been pregnant and has not been feeling well, and so we have not been preaching together on a regular basis like we normally do. And so this message, being the first message that we preach together, we just feel that it was so important because growth has been a theme throughout our lives. We are people that want to live with a growth mentality. We want to live as people who are constantly working to improve, to be better spouses, to be better parents, to be better pastors. We want to work constantly improving and growing in every area of our life. And there are three things that we want to share with you this morning about growth. The first is this: growth requires intention. Growth requires intention. You must be intentional about your personal growth. If you are going to develop in an area of your life, you must be intentional about that. But listen to me, you can't just be intentional, you must also be attentional. You must be intentional about the process, and then you must give your attention. And probably right now, Destiny is making a really mean face behind me because I just made up a word, attentional. I know that is not a word, but it rhymed with my first word, and so I just made it up right here. And so if you are going to give your intention, let me tell you, you must also give your attention. I had the perfect example. I saw this with my own eyes this week. It wasn't long ago that I saw Destiny's brothers come over and build a garden right outside our home. She had them come over, and man, they did the whole thing. They put the walls up and the topsoil. They did everything that you needed to do. It was a beautiful garden. And then they even went and got the plants and planted everything in its right box and place. And it was just, I mean, this garden was going to just flourish with the greatest tomatoes that you've ever tasted and cucumbers that they would just want all over the world. We had great dreams for this wonderful garden. There was an intention that this garden would produce great fruit and vegetables. However, without attention, your intentions will always fail. Because this week I saw that same garden that was put in ripped out. Because there was not one thing left alive in the entire garden. Somebody came over today and ripped all the soil out, took all the wall down, pulled all the plants out, because there were no more tomatoes being birthed. There were no more cucumbers popping out on the vine. It had come to its end, because if you start with intention, but then you don't pay attention, your best intentions will not flourish. And you might have the best intention of being a great spouse. You could have a great intention of being a great boss, of maximizing your potential. But if you don't pay attention to the details, if you do not stay focused, you will not be able to grow the way that you want to. Growth requires intention and attention. Let's look at what Paul said in Colossians chapter 1. Starting in verse 28, he says, "So we tell others about Christ, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all the wisdom God has given us. We want to present them to God perfect in their relationship to Christ. That's why I work and struggle so hard, depending on Christ's mighty power that works in me." Paul said, "I work and I struggle so hard, all the while depending upon Christ's mighty power that works in me." You know, I often see two flaws in people. The one flaw is that they want to do everything on their own. That they want to make it all happen. They want to make the business deals happen. They want to make their marriage great. They want to take it in their hands, and they are going to do whatever it takes. And they nullify God's part of the issue. But then there's also another flaw, and that is for somebody to do nothing and to wait on God to do everything. They want to live with their hands off and say, "Well, I'm just praying about it, and God's going to have to do it." No, growth is a process that requires trust and toil. It requires trust and toil. You have to trust God to do His part, because you can't do God's part of the process. But then at the same time, God's not going to come down and to do your part of the process. You are going to have to toil. You are going to have to put your hand to the plow. You are going to have to do what it takes. You're going to have to plant the seeds. You're going to have to water the soil. You are going to have to do your part if you want to see growth in your life. And then Paul goes on, the very next chapter of Colossians, chapter 2, verse 18. He says this, he says, "Don't let anyone condemn you by insisting on pious self-denial or the worship of angels, saying they've had visions about these things. Their sinful minds have made them proud, and they are not connected." Everybody say connected. Connected. They are not connected to Christ. It's so important that we're connected to Christ, the head of the body. "For He holds the whole body together with its joints and ligaments, and it grows as God nourishes it." It grows. You see, we grow as God nourishes it, but we play a part of remaining connected. Jesus said, "You remain in me." How do I remain in Him? He said, "If you remain in my love." And then He said, "If you will obey my words, if you will obey me, you will stay connected to me. If you will do what the will of God, you will stay connected to God." And so whenever we come to God, we get connected to Him. And here's the amazing thing, is that as we do our part to stay connected, to live obedient lives, to follow the will and the heart of Almighty God, as we do our part, the Bible says that God nourishes the body, that God will give us nourishment that you can't get on your own. God will give you wisdom you can't get out of a book. God will give you peace that you can't get out from a counselor. God will give you things that you can't get on your own, but we must do our part in the process. We must stay connected so that God can nourish us.
I think that's so important to understand that we do have a part to play, because we need to take intentional steps. We need to take intentional steps that lead to growth. And there's just some simple truths, some simple things that you can do that will lead to growth. And one is you can resource yourself. You can invest in yourself. We have a little bookshelf out there. It literally is a bookshelf. I call it the bookshelf because it's a bookshelf. It's not just a cute name. And we have all kinds of books on either side. Well, we don't have that as a fundraiser for the church. In fact, we, Philip and I, will hit book sales when we go to different places and get Christian books and leadership books and mentoring books and management books and books that we know from personal experience, because we've read them, add to a personal growth and will help you to grow up in different areas. We've got Joyce Meyer out there. She's got Battlefield of the Mind. If you're dealing with your thought life, I don't know that I've ever read another book that has helped so many different people with different personalities. It's incredible. If you're dealing with a situation where you're having a hard time with people underneath you or people above you in a work situation, there's a book out there called Leadership and Self-Deception. It's life-changing. It's mind-blowing. There's a book called Mindset out there. Oh my goodness gracious, to understand that if you have a growth mindset, that it affects the way that your entire life goes. Well, why am I bringing up all of these individual books? Because you should invest in yourself. You need to invest in yourself. You need to read. You need to listen to podcasts. You need to watch things that will put something in your spirit that then can grow up. It's so important. It's so key. Now, I am the mother of a 2-year-old, and she's so cute, by the way. And I'm going to be the mother of 2 children in January. And I have learned that even though I love to read, I'm a scholar, I love books. I used to read 3 or 4, you know, a week because I would just sit down and read. I can't do that anymore. There are tea parties to be had, you know? 2-year-olds don't understand the concept of, baby, mama just needs to finish this chapter. It does not work. So you have to adjust your strategy. So I've taken the downtime, the time that doesn't matter when I'm in the car, and I have my little podcasts. So I'll get in my car and I'll pop on my podcast, or I'll get in my car and I'll put on a book on tape. Whatever I have to do, because I'm not going to let this season of my life go by without growing, because God has more for me. God has more for me. I'm not the woman that I want to be today. I'm not the wife that I want to be today. I'm not the mom that I want to be today. And I have to believe that God can empower me to grow into the person that He's called me to be. Yes. He hasn't called me to do something without giving me the power to be able to do that. So it's so important that you take those intentional steps, that you put yourself in a position to grow, that you measure your growth and make growth a priority, and that you remove connections that could hinder your growth. You may have people and you may have habits that are sapping your growth. You know, you may wonder why you're so tired in the morning, but you watch 3 hours of stressful television at night where they're killing people and solving mysteries and all kinds of stuff, and you're going, oh my gosh, on the edge of your seat the whole time, and you're wondering why you're stressed out and you're tense and stuff. No, adjust your habits. Examine your life and say, what are the connections? What am I bleeding my energy, bleeding my time into that's not adding back, that's not helping me to grow?
That growth requires that level of intentionality. You know, we get that in other areas of our life. We get that. If I'm going to grow in a workplace, that I need to get a mentor, I need to get a coach. We get it in athletics, that if I'm going to become the best athlete I can be, then I've got to get around a coach, somebody who can coach me in the ways that things are going to do. If you have never played golf before, and all of a sudden you say, hey, I want to be a golfer. The only way to do it is to go and to get somebody to help you with the game. And there are specific things that you have to do in the process. In just a few moments, they're going to kick the ball off in the NFL season, and you're going to have games, and there are going to be guys out there running and tackling people with biceps that are as big as my leg. I just want you to know that they weren't born that way. They put a lot of work into looking like they look like because they understood that me growing is all about a process. And they were willing to be intentional about going into a weight room and inflicting pain on their body so that they might grow and be everything that they needed to be to have success out there on the field. We understand this in areas of athletics and areas of academics and different things, but so many times we miss this in life. We don't realize that I have to be intentional about me growing. Nobody is going to grow yourself for you. Nobody is going to make you better on their own. You have got to become intentional and say, I am going to decide to grow in my life. I'm going to be intentional about it, and then I'm going to pay attention to the process to make sure that I maximize my growth during the season.
You know, I always get excited whenever you give like an athletic story, normally because I can't relate, but I actually have something that I can add to this. So Emily Mitchell is a very dear friend of mine. We were watching Star Trek the other night because, yes, we are Trekkies and we love sci-fi. And there was this girl with these abs that they won't quit. They were the most amazing things I've ever seen in my entire life. I mean, just perfect abs. And Emily goes, why can't we look like that? And I said, you know what? The difference between her and us is about 3 hours a day. But that's the truth. Yeah. Sometimes you look at people who are really different than you in an area, and you go, why can't I be like that? Why can't I have patience like that? Why can't I have speaking skills like that? Why can't I whatever like that? The difference between you and them is time, effort, and attention. That's all it is. It's time, effort, and attention. So growth requires intention. Second, growth happens in a group. Acts 2, verse 42 to 47, you can just jot it down and read it later, but it says this: all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all. And the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Groups are God's plan. When we're reading this chapter, we're basically reading the earliest description of the Christian church. The earliest description of the Christian church. Jesus has gone back to heaven. He's given his mandates to the apostles, and they are creating the Christian church. And guess what? Groups were the plan. They met together all in one place, and then they met in homes. How amazing is that? They had church, and they had small groups, just like us. It's a really, really old plan. That's why I love when people go, we are doing something so new. We are doing small groups. I'm like, no, it's not new. It's really, really, really old. In fact, it's so old, it goes back to the Garden of Eden, because God said it is not good for man to be alone. He needs a group. He needs a wife, and then he needs a family. He needs a group. And that's where growth happens, is in a group. It's basically for two reasons. One, it creates a system of accountability. Who's checking on you? Who cares about you in the church? I hate when people disappear from church and I don't know. I really do. I hate it. And you may say, well, you should know everybody. I can't. It's impossible. One, because I'm pregnant, and I don't even remember people that I met last week. I don't remember what I had for breakfast this morning. But two, because that's not God's plan. God's plan isn't for everybody in this church to be connected to me. God's plan is for everybody in this church to be connected to someone. Because growth happens in groups. It creates a system of accountability, and it creates a source of encouragement. Sometimes the battle's tough, and you need to be in a group where somebody can say, you know what, I went through that battle, and you can get through it. I fought that giant, and you can overcome it. I had a marriage that was on the rocks, and God restored it. I had a kid who was incredibly rebellious, and today, look at him. I had that, and I can help you get through it. That's why you need to be in a group. That's why you need to be together. And you know what's so funny is we understand this in the world, don't we? We join trade groups. We have all these like little women's mentor lean-in group things, you know? I mean, everything's built on small groups in our society. We were meant to live in tribes and in groups. And in the church, there's no difference. Don't just come and sit down and listen and then leave. Connect to somebody and get in a group. Because this is the thing, is that it's not just that we grow in a group, it's that groups lead to growth. The last part of this scripture says that each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. This church has gone from about an average of 230 people on Sunday mornings to over 500, okay, in about a 9-month period. Okay, that's exciting. Yes. But that's not where we're supposed to stop. Did you know that a lot of churches stop at around 500? In fact, the majority of growing churches stop at 500. They cap out. Why? Because that's about around the number that a pastor and a couple associates can handle. But that's not God's plan. God's plan is for us to keep growing, for our number to be added to daily. Why? Because 60% of the people in this area, this is the most churched area, I think, in the entire country, okay? And 60% of the people in this area don't go to church regularly. 60%. 6 out of every 10 people that you meet are not connected to a Christian community. That means there are people, there are numbers that needed to be added. It's not just about numbers. It's important because every number represents a soul. And there are people who are addicted. There are people who are lonely. There are people who are hurting who need this place. And so when you choose to join a group, you're not just joining it for your own growth. You're joining it for the church's growth. Yeah, because when you're in a group, you have something to invite people to. Yes. There are people who are intimidated by church, but they're not intimidated by a barbecue. They're not intimidated by a small group. So it's so important that we understand that growth happens in groups.
Well, growth happens in groups because improvement happens in groups. Us maximizing our potential, getting the most out of our life happens in a group. When I was in college and playing football, we had two summer school semesters. And so one I would come home for and the other I would be at school for. And whenever I was at home, they would give us the workouts that the rest of the team would be doing. And so I would look at that workout sheet and I would think, I think I can probably do this maybe. And so I would go out by myself to the field and I would try to run all the things that were on that sheet. And man, I would get like halfway done and I would look at that sheet and think, if I do the rest of this, I'm going to die right here on this field today. And so I would make the smart decision to get in my car and go home and get some ice cream on the way. And so I made a good choice there. But here's what happened. Whenever I went back to school for that second summer school session, and I got out there with my team, much to my surprise, I could do everything that was on that sheet. I could run every sprint. I could make every lap. I could lift every weight. It was amazing what I was able to get out of myself. Why? Because I was in the company of a group. And when I was with a group, it caused me to maximize my own potential. It caused me to improve. Why? Because they were there to encourage me. They were there to pat me on the back and say, man, we're in this together. You can do it. We got to do this. We got to finish this together. And there was encouragement that came out of the group. And then there was also accountability. I didn't want my teammates to see me quit. I didn't want them to think that that's who I'm going to be. So the accountability factor forced me to get back in line and to keep running and to finish the task, to finish what we were out there doing. Because it and here's the thing, it's the same way for us. It's the same way when you get in a group. What you will find in that group is encouragement. What you will find in that group is accountability. And then what you will discover is that you are maximizing your potential like never before. Then what you'll discover is you are getting things out of your life that you've never gotten out of your life before. You will find that you are improving in areas that you have never improved in. You say, how is this happening? Because you joined a group, and groups are the way that God designed us to live.
There's an example I always like to point to. When Philip and I were first youth pastors, our church really had a very big small groups push. And so we had a small group. And out of everybody in our small group, nobody was in full-time ministry. We had several that were brand new Christians who really didn't know the Lord very well. But they were in our group. And Philip put demands on them. He'd encourage them. He talked to them every week, and they encouraged each other. And out of that same group, we have Brandon and, well, we have Neely Bam, who is a missionary to Asia. We have Ben and Melody Ward, who have discipled so many different people and who are over our Eagle Creek Recovery Center on a day-to-day basis, which is our addiction recovery center. You have Chris Alfred, who is getting his doctorate of theology from I don't know where. And you have all of these different people. We have, Chris and Davey Brooks, who are youth pastors up in Chattanooga. Almost every single person who was in that original small group is in full-time ministry today. Now, I'm not telling you that if you get in a small group here, we're going to make you go into full-time ministry. What I am telling you is that I don't think there was, maybe there was only one person in that group who even imagined themselves ever doing something like that. In fact, there were several of them who had given up on education as a whole. And both of them are working on their master's now because they were inspired and they were encouraged towards growth in a small group. So it's so important that you find a small group. Okay, practical, back to our church. Where do you find a small group? I'll give you a clue. On Sunday mornings, we have small groups at 9:30 and 11 o'clock. They are wonderful. They are fun. They are exciting. On Thursday nights, starting in October and in November, we will have small groups with childcare available to make it convenient. If that doesn't work for you, we have small groups all during the week. It doesn't matter what group you join. Just join a group. Join a group so you can start to grow.
And then the third thing of growth is that growth is evident. Growth is evident. Eventually, your growth should be seen by others. It should be noticeable. It's almost like whenever you have a little kid, like Carolina Lee is growing up in our home, and it's hard for us to really notice the growth because you see her every day, and she's constantly growing and developing, and we see her. But then whenever you go back and you look at a picture from 6 months ago, and then you look at her today, and it's just, it is mind-blowing. You watch a video that you did a year ago, and you see the growth in her life. Well, that's the way it should be when people take a snapshot of your life and then look back 6 months later and go, wow, I cannot believe how much you have grown. I cannot believe how much you have matured in your faith. I can't believe how far you've come over your addiction and your struggle. It ought to be evident to all those people around you. When a plant matures, it bears fruit. This is the sign of growth. It bears fruit. And if you are growing, you are showing. If you are growing, you are showing. If you are growing in God, you should be showing the fruits of God. If you are growing in God, you should be showing the character of God. If you are growing in God, you should be showing and shining to everybody around you. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. Beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are really vicious wolves. You can identify them by their fruit. That is, by the way they act. Can you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? A good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruits, so you can identify people by their actions. Just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, you can identify people by their actions. Oftentimes, people confuse growth and impact. And they think if I'm out there doing something, then that is a sign of growth. And that is not always true, because growth is internal and impact is external. Whenever that plant is growing up, the plant has to grow to a place where it can then push the fruit out and be able to sustain and maintain the fruit that it has on the vine. And if you try to jump out ahead of your growth and you just say, oh, I'm going to make an impact, I'm going to change the world, I'm going to change my family, I'm going to go out, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, but you have not grown on the inside, then the fruit that you are trying to create is actually going to pull you back down and it's going to destroy, because what has to happen is growth happens on the inside. We begin to grow in our character. We begin to grow in our integrity. We begin to grow in our love and in our grace and in our forgiveness. We grow in our kindness and grow in our goodness. We begin to grow in our self-control so that we can handle the impact that God wants us to make in our world.
Ephesians 3, 17 through 19 says this: then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep God's love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. I love this picture because it really is the picture of growth. It really is the picture of growth. Growth takes intention. There's toil and there's trust. But this is what's great, is that as you trust Christ, you become more connected to him, and then you start growing roots down deep into God's love. And that's what this whole thing is about. If you go back to the very, very beginning scripture that we talked about, he says, I'm the vine, you are the branches, remain in me, and you'll bear much fruit. And then he says this, he says, remain in my love. And he says, if you love me, you'll obey me, you'll obey my commands, and my command is to love. So if we're going to grow, it really all comes down to understanding who God is, how he feels about us, and the love that he has for us. Now, you may be like Philip. God's love, fact that he loves you, isn't really an issue for you. You just grow every day realizing how much more he loves you. And I think that's awesome. I want to be more like that. But you may be like me. That may be the number one struggle of your Christian life, is believing that God could love somebody like you. But this is the truth I've learned. Is I cannot disqualify myself from God's love, because I cannot qualify myself for God's love. It's so important that we understand that growth starts with God. He is the life force. And the more that we grow, the more that we understand how much he loves us, how much he cares for us. We start seeing what real love looks like. We start seeing what real love feels like. And then we're able to see that spill over into our marriages, into our relationships, into our work setting, where we're able to show God's love. You can't share God's love unless you know God's love. unless you know God's love in the depths of your heart. So if you want to define this whole growth thing from a Christian perspective, it's growing every day, knowing more about God. And to know God is to know His love. Even how you see God is dependent on your growth in God. Remain in His love so that we can grow to see His love.
You know, it's so important for us as a church and as individuals that we have a growth mentality. That you have a growth mentality about every area of your life. Do you realize that your marriage doesn't have to stay the same? It doesn't matter if you've been married for 5 minutes or if you've been married for 50 years. You can choose to have a growth mentality when it comes to your marriage. You can decide no matter what you have struggled with all of your life, you can now decide that I'm going to have a growth mentality when it comes to this area of my life. Growth is going to require intention. You are going to have to make a decision. I am going to grow in this area. And then with your intention, you're going to have to give attention. You're going to have to pay attention to your intention so that you can make sure that you're taking the steps that you need to take to get the growth that you want to have. Then you're going to need to join a group. You need to surround yourself with people who are going to love you, who are going to encourage you, who are going to hold you accountable, who are going to push you forward, who are going to propel you into your purpose and destiny in God. You need to get around people because that's the way that God designed us to flourish. You can stay solo if you want to, but you're going to be missing out on the very best you that you can be. You need to get into a group. And then growth needs to be evident. Please don't hide behind growth as something inside that nobody can see. Don't hide behind that phrase. No, growth is evident. If 3 years from now you have not become a different person, if you're still in the same boat doing the same things, let me tell you, then you are not growing, because real growth is evident to people who are close to you. Real growth is evident to people who come into your life once a week. Real growth is evident. And we are a church that is committed to growth. As Destiny talked about, books and podcasts, there are more resources right now for you to be better than ever before in the history of the world. You can get on Google. You can download any message, any leadership seminar. You can get your hands on material that 20 years ago you would not have the privilege of getting your hands on. You can be the best you that you can be far easier today than ever before, but it's only going to happen when you make a decision. This season of my life, I'm going to grow. I refuse to be the same. I refuse to be the same person. I want to be better. I want God to maximize me, and I can't just count on Him to do it. I've got to do my part, and as I do my part, I trust Him to do His part. Can we stand this morning? The worship team comes as we get ready to close out. As you stand, just bow your head just for a moment. I believe this morning that there are some people here in the room that you're just in a season of stagnation, that you've just come to a place where you've just become complacent. You're not really moving forward. You're not really growing in areas that you know that you need to grow in. And you say, Pastor, I've just been there a little bit too long. I hear you talk about growth. I hear you talking about improving. And I have to be honest with myself and say, I'm not in a growth mentality right now. I'm not in a growth season. But you say, today, I'm ready for that season to begin. I'm ready to step into a time of growth like I've never had before in my life.